as evils of Satan. And they are not necessarily evils of Satan. Even Facebook can be used in positive ways, right? We tend to look at it and think there's a lot of negativity, there's a lot of relationship destroying going on in it. But you know, it can also be used as a tool for us to spread the word and to evangelize. And there is nothing wrong with going on our post and putting scripture on them and what it's meant to us. There's nothing wrong with going on and inspiring or encouraging others as they walk in the faith. So I don't want to take and look and these things are all bad. It's what the point I'm trying to make is how we use these tools that can be either honoring of God or they can be dishonoring of God, right? So as we go through those things, let's just remember that how we use the tools that are available to us, we really need to keep our focus on making that honoring of God, right? So I wanted to touch on that before we started. So today we're getting into, I went ahead and made the copies of the Roman warrior for us, the Roman soldier, because we couldn't see it up on there. None of us could read it. We need some young people with good eyes here. And but we were having so much trouble reading it last week, so I made some copies for you. So you can just kind of see what the different armaments were. You can see how that breastplate of righteousness, look at how sturdy and how all-encompassing that really was. You can't really see all of that, but I mean, that was a real protection for the soldiers, okay? So as we go through, we're going to work all the way down now to the boots. So those of you that don't understand what the Roman boot was, it was not only a heavily strapped shoe that held tight, it didn't fit loosely on the soldier's feet because it would rub and callus. They were meant to be very tight so that they stayed in place. They also had, for the direct man-on-man battles, they had teeth in them, a lot like football cleats, but they were sharper because they were also used as a weapon to hurt other soldiers when they got them down. But those teeth on the bottom of their boots gripped into the ground and gave them a firm stance that they could count on so they wouldn't slip and fall away or be hurt. So that's what the boots were doing. Now when we look at, as believers, we have the gospel, and those are the boots that we stand firm in. And not only do they help us to stand firm against our adversary, but our foundation in the gospel helps us be prepared to take the word to all people everywhere. Okay? This is a very well-known scripture, but let's go to Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Does anybody have it memorized? Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Anybody have it? Very good. Very good, Lindsay. There's a song for it. Okay. Well, you know, we remember scripture however we can, right? And sometimes music is the best way to do that. But so that we can all, here, let's go there. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." To the disciples, he said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit." So that is our commandment. As we wear the boots of the gospel in our lives, we are prepared to take it to those who need to hear the salvation message, right? Okay? It is. Yeah. Thank you, Joe, for that. I kind of read right beyond that. But part of that was, if we wear the gospel, we wear our faith, we wear our knowledge of God loosely, we're open to interpretation now. If we wear it so it fits our personality, it fits our life, it fits our style, if it fits us tightly, we're going to be able to follow it closely. And I think that's the...
Well, that's what you said. When you right. The way that they fit, it really helps paint that picture. If it's so tightly fitted, it's right up against it. It's not loose.
Right.
And that's exactly how we should be working with us.
Thank you. Excellent, Joe. So... So let's move forward then. So what has Jesus done for us?
Everything.
Yeah. Okay. He died for our salvation and rose again, correct? And that's where we have our salvation. So what did he do before that? He showed us the way. What did he do before that? Okay, he created the world. So was Jesus here from the beginning of time?
Yep.
Okay. Has he known the plan from the beginning of time?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Did he come down and leave his deity behind, the aspects and the gifts of his deity? Did he leave all that behind to take on the human flesh?
No. He
veiled his glory. Okay, maybe that's a better way to put it, Julie. Thank you.
So
yeah.
See in his miracle,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was all God.
Right. Does God suffer and worry and hurt and become burdened and everything? Right. Right. Jesus experienced all those emotions here on earth as a human. He did not have to go through all that, but he chose to. So there's a step in between him creating the world and him choosing to become fully man while still fully God, but fully experiencing our life on church as a man. And that was a big thing. And then he taught us, he instructed us, he encouraged us. He sent the counselor to us, and then he died and suffered and died and was resurrected all for us, right? Jesus did all of that for us. And this is leading in. So we can have peace knowing that Jesus did all this for each of us, correct? Okay, so how do we apply that to our lives, all of that? That's a lot. We can recall the gospel. We can stand firm knowing that we have the truth on our side. And a good example is John 14:16, which many of us should know because of the church we go to. Can anybody recite that? That's John 3:16. And John, that's good. And then John 14:6. Right. Jesus is the truth. So Christ, now this is from a commentary that I read, but I thought it really fits very firmly into what I wanted to share with you today. Christ as the living word of God is inseparable from truth, the embodiment of truth, and the ultimate reference point in concert with his revealed word for evaluating all truth. So, okay, we have ultimate security in the fact that Jesus is truth. He is the truth, the only real truth of this world. So, back to application. So what is it necessary when we're taking and putting on these boots of the gospel, what is it necessary for us to say when presenting the gospel message? What are the things that we absolutely have to get into the gospel message? Death, burial, and resurrection, okay? What's that? That is the gospel. Now, how we present that will be very individual according to how each of us feel we want to share it, by our different knowledges of different parts of the Bible and by our different experiences in the past. So we will all probably present it a little bit differently, but it all needs to have the death, the burial, and the resurrection, correct? What else does it have to have? Okay, the answer is easy. Nothing. Okay? Nothing. That's it. Death, burial, and resurrection, okay? Too many churches are putting in extra things. Well, then there's baptism. Well, then there's this. Well, then there's service. Death, burial, and resurrection. If we understand those three concepts, we can go out and present the gospel. Period. There's That's all we have to really know. We don't have to understand every verse that's in the Bible to present the gospel. We have to understand the truth of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection and what those mean. So if we can answer a few questions on those three subjects, we can present the gospel with ease. And that is what we are called to do in Matthew 28, correct? So let's look at this a little bit. So where are some places that we can share the gospel? Let's throw some of this out there. Let's get to the nitty-gritty of this. Where can we share the gospel?
Social media.
Joe was listening. Where else can we share the gospel?
Sports
games. Sporting events. Family, good. Traveling. These are, okay, there's lots more.
Grocery store.
Okay, stores. Stores in general. Where else? On the street. I'm sorry, what? Oh, excellent. Greeting cards of all kinds. Perfect. I'm running out of room here on emails. Okay.
Hospitals,
where people are hurting, right? Mm-hmm. Are they open to the gospel?
Yep.
Most of the time. Okay, so on this list, this is just a partial list. There's a million places, right? But is anything on here inaccessible to anybody in this church? Any one item? No. So all of these are accessible to every one of us, correct? Okay, so how many of us go and do, does everybody do something on here every day? So is there... is there something on here that you do every day? So one day I get to a family get-together, another I may be on the street, another I may be sending a greeting card. But something's on here that we pretty much do every day. We do something on this list, correct? So is there any day in our life when it would be impossible to share the gospel? Really, there's not. We can share the gospel somehow every day of our life, sometimes multiple times. On here, is there anybody that's doing this regularly? It sounds like Dave's already putting tags on his emails regularly. Anybody do any of this on a regular basis? That you want to share? Okay, great. Good. Good. Anybody else? Okay. Okay, well, let's focus on that, okay? Let's try to really focus on that. The only thing we are commanded to do in this world is to try to walk like Christ as much as we can and to share the gospel, correct? I mean, those are what we're called to do. We're really trying. What we're trying to do is get the tools together so that this becomes comfortable to us, right? Because, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Good, good. You know, and I know that Jan does that. So I'm glad to hear that we're really incorporating this into our lives, right? Very good, Greg. Yeah, you've got a very good witnessing tool from a very difficult problem in your life, and good for you for using it for the good instead of dwelling in the old, right? Right, right. Something, you know, the easiest thing for me to do, and I've been doing this for a little bit of time, it doesn't matter who waits on me, I thank them for their kindness, I thank them for going out of their way to help me, and I said, God bless you. And it's like, they're working, I can't have a big conversation with them, but I can encourage them, and I can encourage, if I go to 10 different stores, I can encourage 10 different people that day. And so that's a real easy thing to do, and if you bring up God's name or Jesus' name in it, you know, may Jesus bless you through this or whatever. They know where it's coming from. So it's just another seed. Are they small seeds? Yeah, but they're seeds. And one of them will take root.
I like what Jesse said a couple of weeks ago when he said, somebody says, how are you today? You say, you know what the Lord put on my heart?
That is another great tool on that one. Excellent. Thank you, Jen, for bringing that one back up. So what are our reasons for sharing the gospel? Do we have a reason for sharing the gospel? Oh. Jesse, you got another one of these, bud? I think I killed this one. Is that it? I left it off too long. So, reasons for sharing the gospel. Commanded. Okay. Okay. Green. I'm just not a red guy. Commanded, obedience. Share experience. What else? Yeah. You are, aren't you? Thank you, Jesse. Amen. Good. Good. Okay. Want people to, how about share the joy? That none should perish. Uh-huh. Okay, comfort, good. Thank you, Bonnie. What else? Okay, so we've got a lot of good things here because we're commanded to, because we want to share our experience. We want people to hear our joy that we've found. We want none should perish because we love Christ, comfort. These are all really good items, right? What are they showing? What are they showing about our feelings towards other people? Love, right? They're showing that we love them enough, we care enough about them, that we don't want their eternity to be with Satan and his minions. We want their eternity to be with God and with Jesus and with us, right? We want them to experience the fullness and the joy of an eternal life of good and comfort and peace and joy, right? So that's why we're sharing the gospel with other people. So then that brings up, this is all really good stuff, right? It's all positive and it's all loving. Yeah. Ooh. Sorry, Julie.
Yeah.
Okay, so now here comes the hard question. So why do we hesitate? Okay, let's go to Romans 1, and let's go to 16 through 20, and we can stay there for a little bit. If I can even find it. Where's Romans? Is that the New Testament? Romans 1. And we are going to 16 and 17. And this is Paul. And he is talking and saying, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Okay? So, what's Paul really saying? Do we not share the gospel because we don't care about other people's salvation? Is that what he's saying? Is he saying because we fear rejection? Is it because we fear others' reactions? Is it because we don't know if we fully believe the story ourselves when it comes right down to presenting it to our friends and family? Let's go back. Let's read it again, okay? "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Okay? So what is Paul saying? What is he saying about why he is not afraid? The power of salvation. He's proud of the gospel. The gospel is who he is in spirit, right? So he is not going to back away from the gospel. And he is not afraid of what other people think. His focus is not going this way. His focus is going this way, right? At all times. And we need to keep our focus pointed up, as Jesse says, and not out, because as long as we're focused out, we're going to have these. We're going to have the fear of rejection. We're going to have the fear of other people's reactions. We're going to have a lot of burdens and fears that we're going to put on ourselves that are going to keep us in that place where, well, I'm just not ready to share the gospel. Keep our focus up. We are not providing the salvation to people. The Holy Spirit is using us. The Holy Spirit will give us the words we need. All we have to do is trust the Holy Spirit enough to start the conversation, and he's going to take it over. It's amazing. How many people have started a conversation not really sure where they're going with trying to explain their faith, and all at once stuff comes out of nowhere that you don't even know where it came from? How many people? That's the Holy Spirit. He's giving you what you need. Right? And he will give us what we need when we go to spread the gospel message too. Okay? So, let's moving on. So, we have all those feelings. What can we do to change those feelings so that we're more ready to share the gospel? What are some tangible things we can do? We can have faith. Explain it a little further for me, Greg. I understand what you're saying, but I'm walking in truth.
Yeah.
Okay, and our life reflecting truth.
Right.
Would that be?
Yes.
Okay. So what can we do to change the fears that we have about sharing the gospel? Right. That's a really good idea.
And then when you do talk to another believer, you have already had
some practice. Okay. So I'm going to say, I think that that's an excellent point, Lindsay. So start with believers. And I'm going to put B-E-L-I. There it is. Safe. right? Is it all safe for us? Absolutely. But in our minds, we're trying to grow a new skill and a new gift within us, right? Or we're acknowledging the gift for the first time. Sometimes it's easy to be in a zone where our flesh feels safe, right? Because that's our constant battle, right? Is world, flesh, and Satan, right? So press start with believers and practice. Good. Train like you fight. So train for it. Right, because then you've already rehearsed it a million times, right? And there's something about rehearsing it with other people rather than rehearsing it in your mind, where then the words just flow. And again, it teaches you to listen for the Holy Spirit's guidance. Okay, so yes. Perfect. So I'm going to put priority on prayer. And to pray, isn't that what Paul said? Anybody remember where he said that? Well, I don't remember where he said it, but remember he was praying that God would open doors, and that wasn't open doors like we use them. We pray that he'll open doors for this to happen or that to happen. Paul was specifically saying, pray for open doors that the gospel message can be spread and can be shared, right? So that's what he did. So, and pray for them to have ears to hear. Okay. Anything else? Right. Absolutely. So be trained, be prepared, start in safe zones, right? Real important, you guys really hit on this with these last ones. Pray first. We need to pray for God and the Holy Spirit to be with us through everything we do, right? But we're sharing the gospel message. We want to share truth. And so we want them to hear that truth. We need the Holy Spirit right there with us, helping us to know what he wants us to share and what he wants them to hear. And he will be there with us, okay? Pray. That is a very important aspect of this. So
sometimes training is good, and it's good for you to have an idea, but sometimes you also have to let the Spirit work.
Absolutely.
I can't say you overtrain, but you have to at least be open, because they're going to think that they go down paths and be like, well, if you did A, B, and C, and they come up with F, then how do you get there?
Right. That's a really good point, Steve. Mm-hmm. Very good point. And that actually is very appropriate for me to hear right now, because as I'm putting these lessons together, I've got my outlines and the things I want to share. And then as we talk, I'm going over here and over there. I'm starting to feel like Jesse taking rabbit trails, you know. But that's the Holy Spirit leading us those ways, right? So we don't want to be so prepared that when you say X, Y, and now I'm going to go to Z, and they throw in Q, I don't know what to say now, right? We don't want to be that prepared. It comes across as institutional, maybe is a good word, doesn't come across as an emotional connection, right? We need to have the flexibility, and that's where the Holy Spirit's going to fill in those connections with us. So, any other questions on anything we talked about today, or any comments that anybody wants to share? Well, that's why it's so similar to me then. Thank you, Julie. Thank you. Well, you want to read it for us? You have it right there? Yeah. Very good. You know, that's a good scripture for us to have. If we have anything where we have notes or we have different things where we're trying to put together, how are we going to do this? That would be a really good scripture to include in it, right? Okay. Yes. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Oh, good for you.
I didn't realize I even said it. God, the Holy Spirit went into my mouth and said, God loves you.
Yeah. Right. And see, that's why we don't want to miss those opportunities, right? We don't know what's going on in somebody else's life, so we don't want to let those opportunities go. Good for you. Thank you for sharing that, Shawnee. Yeah. So this was going to be two sections. We were going to go into Shield of Faith, but the Holy Spirit made me long-winded again. So anyway, we'll stop here and we'll do Shield of Faith next week. Just thank you. And something in preparing for next week with the Shield of Faith and tying into sharing the gospel here, I just want to share something with you. Jan and I watched a